I also want to thank David and Dave for filling in for me the last couple of weeks. I really appreciate that. Lamar will be teaching for me next week. And even though he's not here at the moment, I'll appreciate that. We are in 2 Timothy. We're finishing up the book. We're in chapter 4. Just some things that I had mentioned earlier in chapter 1. Just sort of an intro, a little bit of a theme of the book. Paul encourages Timothy to remember him and his faith, to remember his mother and grandmother and their faith. And based on those reminders and other reminders, it's not just so, oh yeah, I remember. Yeah, that's good. So he can be strong. Timothy may have been lagging just a little bit. And Paul is encouraging him to rekindle his gifts, to be strong, to not be ashamed of the gospel. Difficult times are going to come, and you need to be ready. You need to persevere during those difficult times, and you need to be on your guard. There are those who are going to try to lead people astray. You need to preach the truth. You need to preach sound doctrine. As we look at chapter 4, again, just some of my thoughts. You know, as David mentioned last week, this is the last letter that we have from Paul. He's writing to Timothy, who he considers his son in faith. Right. No one else like-minded, as he refers to him on one occasion. And so you can just sort of feel the emotion as he says, just, you know, remember me. Remember what I did. Preach the word like I did. Endure the hardships that you're going to have to face. And if you'll remember, just like I did. Remember others. We know that Paul was constantly praying for the welfare of the church, the welfare of others. And he wants Timothy to remember him and his encouragement to come to him and to bring him some books and some garments. So do these things just like I did. And if you do these things like I did, then you will receive the crown just as Paul anticipates receiving. So just some thoughts that I had there as we get into chapter 4. Anybody have any thoughts before we get into it? All right, we'll start on this side. Russ? Number one.
What solemn charge did Paul give to Timothy? In verse 2, it says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching.
Okay. Right, so preach the word. Preach the gospel, Timothy. This is what you've been charged with. This is what I was charged with. And that's what I did. And he's reminding Timothy or encouraging Timothy, this is your duty. You're a gospel preacher. You're a minister. Do you remember what Paul said his mission was, what he was commissioned with? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, there was some concern over divisions. And Paul says, well, I'm glad I wasn't sent to baptize. I was sent to preach. I was sent to preach the gospel. That's the mission that they were. That doesn't mean Paul didn't baptize, but he was sent to preach. Be ready in season. Is that deer season? What season? What does that mean?
All
the time. Okay. When it's convenient, really, is what it means. It's when there aren't hardships, Preaching, teaching is never necessarily an easy thing, but do we have to worry about anybody coming in here and dragging us out right now? No, this would be in season. This would be when it's convenient. What about out of season? Right. It's kind of the opposite of that, right? When it's hard, when it's difficult, when it's not convenient. To reprove, to convince others of the truth. To rebuke. Correct those in an error. There's difficult times are coming, Timothy. and you're going to need to be, that needs to be something that you're willing to do. Correct those that are in error. What about exhort? Okay, right. Yeah, to encourage, we might, that's the way we would probably use it. You've got, there are others you need to encourage to do their spiritual service. And so be that encourager. Paul has already used himself, used his grandmother, used his mother as sort of reminders. Who does Paul use now? I solemnly charge you. Right. And I call God Jesus as witness. As I remind you to do these things, he brings in God and Jesus as witness. Just as they know what we're doing, they're going to know, Timothy, if you're doing your duty, they will know. He uses Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. Again, there's no escaping our responsibility. Jesus knows what we are doing. And how was Timothy to go about preaching the word? Reproving, rebuking, and exhorting. Okay. Complete patience. With great patience and instructions. And, you know, we've discussed the idea of patience. It's not just, you know, sitting back, folding your hands, and hoping things turn out. But, you know, it made me think about Jesus with the apostles. You know, they were with him those years. They saw so much. They heard so much of his teaching, and then as his last days draw near, what are they doing? They're fussing about who's going to be greatest in the kingdom. You know, so there are times, you know, we expect others to get it. They should get it. And sometimes we have to reprove. Sometimes we have to rebuke. But we need to do these things with great patience and instruction. Great point. I told you one time and that's it, right? Yeah. Very good. Any other comment? Mark?
As we look at our culture, now it is so antagonistic toward being spiritual, and people's lives have been influenced by that for so long. I think he would help us to understand you're not going to change people overnight. Mm-hmm. You get from the culture that you're wrestling in. They have been so indoctrinated with other ideas. Some of these things ought to just be absolutely plain as they can be. But you're trying to change people's lives, not just get them to understand something. That's going to take some work.
Yeah. Very good. Okay. Anybody else? Number two.
Why should Timothy urgently take advantage of every preaching opportunity? When there's going to be a judgment from God, and it is been commanded.
Yeah, the time's going to come when, you know, sound doctrine, when the truth just doesn't appeal. I've got things I want to do, you know, and the truth, the gospel is just always standing in the way of that. So they're going to turn away from sound doctrine. They're going to follow their own desires, and they're going to get teachers who are going to say what they want to hear, and okay, this is the way you want to live your life. But you know what? That's okay. God just wants you to be happy, and that's the kind of teachers that they're going to listen to. They're going to turn away from the truth. You know, there may be folks out there who say, well, you know, we can't really understand what God's will is for us. We'll all just sort of do our own thing. But there is a truth. And we can either follow it or we can turn away from it. And it says they'll turn away to myths. And what's a myth?
Made up story.
Yeah, it's something that's not true. right? So when we turn away from the truth, you know, a lot of people wouldn't say, "Oh, I'm following fairy tales." You think people of the world would say, "Well, I'm just believing in fairy tales." I know Dave refers to some things as superstition sometimes. But when we leave the truth, when we leave the gospel, we might as well say, "Well, we're just believing in fairy tales." We turn to fables, to myths. In chapter 3, he was telling Timothy that, you know, difficult times are coming. And there are going to be those who, they hold a form of godliness, but what? What do? Deny its power. So, we have to be careful that we don't fall into the same trap. You know, I'm at services every time, and I've got this image of godliness, but I'm really not letting it come out in my life. You know, we need to be careful that we don't start deceiving ourselves, that we are in a better condition than we are. We need to live it, the truth. And we can do that for, well, you know, it would be nice if all these pews were full up here as well. Or, you know, I'm just, at work, folks just don't like the things that when I speak up about some things, they just don't like that. So for popularity's sake, maybe we begin to start watering down the truth. We're turning aside the myths, turning aside the fables when we do that. Any comments? Okay, we'll go ahead to number 3.
How does Paul summarize his life and work as he faces death? Well, he famously said there in verse 7 that he's fought a good fight, finished the race, and he kept faith. Something that has always been striking to me about that is the confidence that he has and the context there, too. You know, here's a man who, you know, we know his past history and all the sins that he was guilty of. And mistakes that I'm sure he made, but here at the end, he looks back and he's confident. He knows he's walking the fight, and he's willing to hold it. Say that to Timothy, this evangelist that he's kind of got under his wing, teaching, "Hey, here's how you do it. You do it this way, you're going to finish with the same confident fight."
All right, very good. Yeah, the living the life of a Christian. You know, who are we fighting against? He says, "I fought the good fight." Satan?
I'd say it's also an internal struggle, part of us against the will of God. I mean, there's multiple levels to it.
Yeah. We're fighting against sin. Like you say, we're fighting against our own desires. We're fighting against Satan. You know, Paul used the reference in Corinthians about the idea of a boxer. And he also used the idea of, "I finished the course." What's Adam doing?
Well, the other thing, too, is that in Acts, he talks about how he checked himself daily. So he can say he's confident because every day he asks himself, "What did I do wrong? What did I do right?" And so I guess the big thing right there should be continually done.
Right. Yeah. We need to compare ourselves to the Word very regularly. Right. What about the idea of finishing the course?
Say that it speaks to a race or competition, and he uses my to take his ownership. Which is something he's done, he has through the Lord, but he didn't throw everything on the Lord and say, "Well, let's be good."
Right. Crazy.
I always envision an obstacle course. You know, having to go through trials and tribulations and over all sorts of things and getting to it.
Yeah, it's not a smooth downhill run, is it? Yeah, a lot of difficulties. And when you run the race, you have to run according to what?
The rules.
Right. And Paul is acknowledging that he's done that. I've kept the faith. Christ sent me to preach the gospel. I've lived it, and I've preached it. I thought about Acts 20 and 27 when he had called for the Ephesian elders, and he told them, "For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. I've done. Jesus came. Jesus sent me to the Gentiles. He sent me to preach the gospel. He told me I would suffer. And I have done what He has asked me to do." That's I hope we can all say that. Any comments? Okay.
Please bring verses to me. Very much appreciate the progression of the past presentation there. Verse 6, it says, I am ready. Right now I'm ready. Well, why is that? Well, verse 7, because I have qualified. I have been before. I have kept the faith. Things in the past. So because of where he is and what he's done, he said in verse 8, there he is laid up.
Right.
I just love the progression. All summed up right there in those three verses, kind of in life. And where his hope is and why.
Anyone else? Very good. Okay, number 4. He just finished talking about fighting the fight and running the course. If you compete and you get a prize, what do they often get, especially back during those times, the Olympic Games? What did they get? A crown. Yeah, it wasn't a gold, but it was a crown. So, as Chad mentioned, we do what we need to do in the future and you know, Paul is saying with confidence, for two reasons. He knows how he's lived his life. Yes, in the past he had made some mistakes, but in his service to God, he's confident that he has done everything that he needs to do. And he trusts in God. The Lord, the righteous judge, will award me. God, Jesus, deals righteously with us. He's not going to, well, Philip, you know, I know you haven't been doing everything just right, but you can come on to heaven anyway because you're a pretty nice guy, right? Is that righteous, Judge? No. It says there, and I guess another aspect of this, you know, finishing the race, James, who gets the prize? Yeah, those that win, right? But in this case, who's going to get this crown? We all are, right? In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Oh, well, Paul won. He's the one who gets the crown. I guess we're all out of luck. But no, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So any who compete according to the rules, those who fight the good fight, those who finish the course and keep the faith, we can have that same crown of righteousness. And I wasn't 100% sure when he says to all who have loved his appearing. Do you want to have a different translation on that? Now, I'm not sure if he's referring to those who are eagerly awaiting the second return. You know, as Christians, we should be excited about meeting Jesus, about his coming again. Or if he is referring to the fact that we love the fact that God had a plan of salvation. That he sent his son. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And what does John go on to say about that? Dwelt among us, grace, right, very good, and brought grace and truth. The appearing of Jesus brought the plan of salvation for us, he brought grace and truth. Does anybody have any thoughts on that, whether it's the second coming or not? Anybody going to help me out? We'd go either way, yeah. So, and again, it's not as, it's not that we were, we're excited to see Jesus physically, but what he brought, what he gives. The gospel, salvation, grace, and truth. Okay, number five. What exactly did Demas do? Kind of getting called out like this. Love this present world. Anybody? Do we know? We're not told. It doesn't have to be some heinous crime. It doesn't have to be, well, I'm just through with the gospel. I am going my own way. What was Paul's circumstance? Where is he right now? He's in prison. We know he'd been in prison before. Things were easier then, but this prison, much harsher. He's considering the fact that I'm facing death. And as we look, there are some there that Paul sent away. There were some people there that Paul sent to different places. But we know there are brethren there as well. It could be the idea that... if you're associated with Paul right now, you might face the same condemnation of death that he is. And maybe Demas said, I kind of like this right here a little more than Paul's attitude of receiving the crown. I think I'd rather have my crown in this life. So it doesn't mean that maybe he just went off the deep end, as we might say. He just decided, it's too tough, Paul. I can't deal with it. Anybody have to go? Alan, I saw you.
Yeah, one thing that is strikes me personally here too with this is if there's anybody who should be concerned about anything, Paul should be concerned about his own life. We would be, I would be. Here I'm going to be going through something, I'm going to be going through that. But Paul's interest is not in that, because I don't know why he sends these other people off or what for or why they leave. They are close people to him. Churches all around that area. He sends them out there. What's he asked for? That strikes me.
Right. And we'll talk about that a little bit. Not just a cloak, but bring the books, bring the parchments. Even facing death, Paul's, maybe I can still keep working. Maybe something will change. Good point. Chad. Yeah, and there's no need to try to figure out exactly what it is. That's just his priorities are this life. Yeah, right. Very, very good. Chad?
Well, in the events with Demas having forsaken him, really, it has to be rather recent events, which would have been another reason for Paul being discouraged. We know that Demas was with Paul in the past, Roman imprisonment. He's mentioned, I think, in Colossians and Philemon. And so that's just been a few years. So in that narrow window of time, something's happened, and Demas, who was a great supporter and helper of Paul, has left him. So it kind of goes back to the remarkable nature of Paul's single-minded focus on things, that even with that, which could have been a terrible discouragement to him.
Right.
He's still pressing on.
Yep. And what does he say back in chapter 1? Who had forsaken him? Yeah, all had forsaken him. And again, he mentions some some names that Chad talked about were probably close to him, like Demas, and maybe in the work with him, and then, you know, it got too difficult. Priorities were not serving God, but this present world. Any other comments? I thought about the parable of the 10 virgins, Matthew chapter 25. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like. And it goes on to give this parable, what we refer to as the five wise, the five foolish. When the bridegroom came, who went in? Okay. The ones that were prepared, exactly. Those that were ready. You know, again, we may be going through the motions, but are we ready? You know, when I don't know if five is given just as a point of emphasis or if that's just a number. But there are a lot of distractions in just living our life. Not necessarily, well, I guess if it distracts us from our service, it can be sin. But there are a lot of distractions. And we can just not be ready when the time comes. I wasn't doing anything real bad, God. I just wasn't ready. I've gone away to do something else, and I just wasn't ready. My priority was not serving the Lord. We're left out. So need to make sure that we're ready and what our priority is. Need to be like Paul so that we can say, I fought the good fight, finished the course, and kept the faith. Any comments? Number six. Okay. Luke is the writer of
Luke
in Acts, right? We know he was a travel companion with Paul, that he went to Rome with Paul there at the end of Acts. And I didn't research this greatly, so it could be that he had continued to stay on with Paul during his imprisonment. Does anybody have any other knowledge on that? What does he ask Timothy to bring? We discussed this a bit earlier. Right. He asked for a cloak that he left in Troas. He asked for books. He asked for parchments. And we discussed this just a bit earlier. You know, even though he feels like his time is up, I'm facing death, he's still making plans. You know, if I live on in the flesh, then that's good for your sake, as he talks about there in Philippians. Maybe there's things I can continue doing. Don't know exactly what books. Maybe they were Old Testament. Maybe they were just some other things. The idea of the parchments, maybe some letters, maybe blank parchment for him to write letters. I'm not sure. But to me, just the idea that even though Paul's admitting, you know, I'm ready to go, ready to be poured out as a drink offering, still making some plans for the possibility that he might continue on. Any thoughts? Number seven. What do we know about Mark or John Mark?
Paul was it Paul that objected to him? Someone with him at one time?
That is correct. He had been with Paul and some others, and he left the work in Pamphylia. We see that in Acts 13 during what we call the first missionary journey. And then in Acts 15, when he was about to begin the second missionary journey, Barnabas wanted to bring him. He was related to Barnabas. And that was the dispute they had. Paul didn't want to take him. You know, he left us before. I don't want to take him. And so they ended up dividing, as we know, and going separate ways. But now here we are in 2 Timothy, on down the road, and Paul recognizes him as useful. So what might we say about Mark? Presenting it in that perspective.
Right.
So, Paul at one point doesn't want Mark to go with him, but now he sees him as useful. So, what about Mark?
Matured spiritually.
Right. He's grown up. He's matured spiritually. Perhaps his faith has increased. And Paul's willing to trust him. You know, I think sometimes we might encounter somebody in their youth and they do something stupid. Maybe they just do something sinful, or anybody that might wrong us. And then what can be our tendency? Yeah, I'm done with them. They've done me wrong. They've offended me. They didn't do something I agreed with. And that doesn't mean, what did Mark show? Yeah, he showed improvement. You know, it wasn't like Paul says, well, you know, I'll just randomly give this person a second chance, that sort of thing. So, you know, there's both sides of the equation. Go ahead, Mark.
Maybe Paul showed maturity.
It could be.
We don't know why Mark needed to leave.
Right.
We can speculate all that.
Right.
Barnabas was ready to take him then.
Right.
Barnabas was ready to take Paul when the Christians
Right.
So, Barnabas, this son of encouragement, saw something in Mark way back when that, for whatever reason, Paul didn't see.
Right.
I think the valuable lesson here is what you said moments ago was Paul was willing to take a second look at Mark.
Right.
And whether it was Paul's change or it was Mark's change, something changed.
Right.
And they were willing to come back together and for the good of whatever he said, I have a use for him.
Right.
And I know in Paul, I think it was a spiritual use that
right.
he was going to put into work for.
Right. Good point. Chad?
Unless we think this is some sort of deathbed change of heart that Paul's had here. When he was in prison 4 years earlier, he mentions Mark then. Mark was useful to him and helped him then. So this change, well, this is something that just happens right now.
Right. Say that again, Jeremy.
Acts chapter 15.
Right.
Verse 36 to 31. You can see where they reconciled or seemed to put it together. Like say it wasn't last minute.
Okay. Right. Okay. Any other comments on that? Number 8. Okay. Yeah. If that's the same Alexander that is referenced back in Acts 19, it's kind of interesting because the ones who initially got all worked up about Paul and the word of the Lord growing mightily in that area, it was the Gentiles, and their God is, and they're the ones that sort of brought Paul forward. And then during the sort of an initial hearing or whatever was going on, Alexander was sort of put forth. And he was a Jew, and he never really got to say anything because they sort of booed him down. But this could have been, you know, someone who back in Acts 19, you know, did continue to harass Paul, maybe even did some prior to this. There's an Alexander mentioned in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 20. And from what I got with that, it seems to be a Christian who had rejected the faith. So I'm not sure exactly which Alexander this may be referring to. I sort of tend to think, like Brother Billy, that it's referring to the one back in Acts 19. Could be the same one. Right. And that would fit in nicely back with Acts 19. Those that made a living building images to the false god, false idols, that sort of thing. And what was Paul's warning to Timothy? Yeah. He vigorously opposed our teaching. What did Paul, I won't say a wish, what did Paul say would happen to Alexander? Yeah, the Lord will what? Yeah. The righteous judge. The Lord knows those who are His, back in chapter 2 and 19. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. To me, it's interesting Paul didn't say, I sure hope God just takes care of him. You know, he gave me such a hard time. I hope he really gets it. He just said he'll get what he deserves. The Lord's gonna pay all of us according to our deeds, right? But in this case, he's gonna repay him for his evil deeds. He vigorously opposed our teaching. Number 9.
It's good.
The Lord stood with me and strengthened me when all had deserted me. And I'm not sure what's meant or what all went on. If that was just a spiritual leaning, maybe there was an appearance. But we have to know the Lord if we're going to trust in the Lord. And we've got to lean on Him. We've got to have an understanding of His Word. Can you comment? Yeah, Mark.
I think it's interesting that he classifies them totally differently than he does Alexander. Alexander made a willful choice and caused him much harm, and so may the Lord take care of him.
Right.
But these that out of weakness or fear or whatever else wouldn't make a stand, he says, don't let them be charged with that.
Right.
So he certainly understood the difference between a willful walking away or
patience and instruction that he talked about earlier in the chapter, right? Number 10.
What did the Lord accomplish through Paul that this basically shows the power of God? The Lord was with him and strengthened him without him so that preaching would be fully known among the Gentiles and delivered him out of peril of times.
Okay. Yeah, Paul was sent to preach to the Gentiles, and here he is in Rome having an opportunity to preach to the Gentiles that the gospel might be confirmed. He was rescued out of the mouth of a lion. Not sure if that's literally the consequences that Christians were facing at that time, death by lions, or if it's a reference to Nero, or just simply a reference to death. But he was rescued at that time. Number 11. Doesn't mean he'll rescue him from death. Paul doesn't say that. He's going to rescue me from death, but from every evil deed. And I get from that that he'll help me to be strong. As I face death, I'll not waver. He will rescue me in that regard. And he will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. Back in chapter 1, verse 12. For I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Paul has great confidence that the Lord's going to do what he said. Any comments? Okay, number 12. Is that where we are? 12. Christian. Yeah. And bring cloak, bring the parchments. You know, Paul sent people away, but now here he's facing death. Maybe he does want somebody to do that with him. I really like verse 22, just that closing, the Lord be with your spirit. Can the Lord be with our spirit? If the Lord's spirit is standing next to my spirit, and he kind of pushing my spirit away, let you, you're not quite as clean as you need to be, Philip. I really like that. Lord be with your spirit. Live in such a way that the Lord can be with your spirit. Any comments before we close? Yes, sir.
Well, I think that